Hi there, Billy Hindle here, the voice of Alice Dyer in the Magnus Protocol. As part of the Magnus Archive's 10th anniversary, Rusty Quill is hosting a special Magnus Live show at the upcoming Crossed Wires Podcast Festival in Sheffield. Join co-creators Jonathan Sims and Alexander J. Newell on the 5th of July for a new iteration of our live show, Statement Begins, where you can hear fan-favourite statements such as Anglerfish, Red Live, and gain exclusive insights into the creation and history of the show straight from the creators themselves. You can buy your tickets now, including limited numbers of meet and greet tickets, from crossedwires.live or the link in the description of this episode.
Hi everyone, it's Kareem, the voice of Simon Fairchild from the Magnus Archives. Today I'm here to advertise Beck's End, an upcoming new audio drama that will be launching on the RQ network. Beck's End is a folk horror audio drama about isolation, belief, radicalization, and poses the question if redemption is possible. When floodwaters swallow an idyllic English Lake District village, a stranded journalist finds herself trapped in a rising tide of fear. Cut off from the outside world, she begins to uncover horrors both human and biblical, lurking beneath the surface. If this intrigues you, you can support the creation of Beck's End on Kickstarter until the 17th of July. For more information on the show and to pledge your support, visit becksend.com. That's becksend.com. And you might recognize a voice here or there. Have fun and enjoy the episode.
This episode is dedicated to Talia Lindner. This is dedicated to my friends and family for listening to me talk about the Magnus Archives for far longer than could be considered reasonable. I apologize in advance for what Magnus Protocol will do to me. You are the real heroes.
Rusty Quill presents. The Magnus Protocol. Episode 10, Saturday Night.
I'm sure I don't need to tell anyone what that little blast of 90s nostalgia was. Mr. Bonzo's On His Way, which topped charts for over 11 weeks.
12 weeks.
Smashing the record for TV time music and launching a merchandise empire. Well, today I'm here with the creator of Mr. Bonzo and former host of Saturday on 6, Nigel Dickinson.
It's an absolute pleasure to be here, Geraldine. Nice to be on TV again.
It has been a while, hasn't it?
I've kept busy.
So, 25 years since Mr. Bonzo's debut. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how it all started?
I mean, it started as a joke. Channel 6 approached me in 94 to be the host and frontman of their Saturday night variety show. It was a risky move back then, of course. Channel 6 had only existed for a year and I wasn't exactly a household name. I mean, I was part of the BBC's family programming, but I was hardly top of anyone's list. Still, Nigel Dickinson Presents Saturdays on 6, or Nigel's SOS as they started calling it, really took off. I mean, at the end of the day, it was still the same sort of variety show that BBC and ITV were running on Saturday primetime. Skits, music, interviews, some on-location features. What marked us out, though, is that we didn't take ourselves nearly as seriously as them. The whole conceit was that the set was built like an enormous comedy dungeon, and I'd been imprisoned by Mr. Six.
Mr. Six?
Oh, he was our fictional head of Channel 6, and I had to do a good show so I'd be released.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with it. At the top of each show, I'd get a phone call from Mr. Six, who was always very angry. And he'd say he'd gotten a complaint from some busybody writing in with a name like Mrs. Sowlpuckle or Mr. Smallprick. And then I'd be told I had to do the whole show without, using the words up next or standing on one leg or something. And people loved it. They really loved it.
And where did Mr. Bonzo come into it?
Yes, Mr. Bonzo, of course. Well, one of our big things was pranks. We had a whole section called You Got Buried, where we'd invite some serious public figure and make them look a bit silly, like get a famous footballer to do a bunch of kick-ups, but we'd weighted the ball. And at the end, I'd come out and say, "You've got buried," and give them this big golden raspberry trophy. It was all in fun. No guests were hurt. So one day, my producer, Rich, had this fantastic idea. We'd do the whole shtick of inviting a famous person on, someone really serious, and we tell them we're going to have them do a segment with a popular children's entertainer. Now, obviously, these folks won't have any idea about what kids are actually watching, so we could come up with the most horrendous thing, claim kids loved it, and see how long it took for the guests to realise they were the joke, that they'd been buried. So I came up with this awful clown character, this big, bulbous, splotchy suit running around, screaming his own name and generally being a nightmare.
Who came up with the name Mr. Bonzo?
You know, I honestly don't remember. I know it wasn't me or Rich, but at some point someone said it and the name just stuck. I don't really know what else to say about it. His name is Mr. Bonzo. I remember the first show we used him. We'd invited Gotthard Rimbo, the chef. He was very big at the time, lots of TV appearances, a cooking column in the Times. But I think he was looking to soften his public image after the Mirror ran a story on him. I don't quite remember.
Britain's snootiest chef.
Ah, that was it, yeah. So after that, he agreed to do a segment on our show teaching children how to cook. He's obviously never seen the show and was completely oblivious to kids' culture. He was absolutely perfect. When Mr. Bonzo emerged out of the pantry, the effect was incredible. Rimbo's face went white, and he looked like he was about to scream. I'll be honest, I'd seen the suit already, but I hadn't seen it moving, and it was even freaking me out a bit. Rimbo tried to keep it together. As far as he knew, all the kids did love Mr. Bonzo. But when that big, rubbery clown started knocking over pans and smashing eggs all over the studio kitchen, the snooty chef actually tried to hide behind the shelving unit. And finally, when Mr. Bonzo went in for a cuddle, Rimbo genuinely attacked him with a frying pan. He actually broke the arm of the guy wearing it, which I took as my cue to enter with the golden berry. And this was on live TV, don't forget.
Sounds like a disaster.
I thought so too. But according to our audience, it was the best thing we'd ever done. Over the next week, we got literally hundreds of letters demanding more Mr. Bonzo.
Even with a broken arm?
Well, there was a different man in the suit, of course. There were a few of them over the years. It was very physically demanding, and that wasn't the only injury we had with it. It actually became a sort of ritual. The newest member of the production crew wore Mr. Bonzo until someone else joined.
Or until they got hit by a pan.
Yes, of course. The joke couldn't last. The problem with a surprise prank is that doing it on Saturday night prime time means pretty soon everyone knows about it. And the guests knew it was coming. A couple even requested it. So the prank part of it sort of died, and he just became an SOS mascot. One of the many tormentors in the dungeon. By the end, we'd even retired Mr. Six, and it was all Bonzo.
Clearly it was the right decision.
The kids certainly liked him. It turned out they really did think he was hilarious. Well, the ones who didn't wet themselves, anyway. There was a pretty stark dividing line between the two. Soon it was Bonzo mania. Merch sales were going through the roof. Undeserving number one hit single actually did become a number one hit single. And we even started construction on a small Bonzo Land theme park at one point. It was a good time.
And then?
And then we all know what happened. People stop liking Mr. Bonzo.
If you don't feel comfortable discussing Terence Menke, we can move on to...
No, that's fine. You know it was only the last one, right? The one where he was caught? The police said there were 11 bodies in total, and his wardrobe was full of all sorts of homemade costumes. Who knows what he wore for the rest, but no. because he was caught dressed as Mr. Bonzo. That's all people remember.
Bonzo Butcher.
The Bonzo Butcher. Ridiculous tabloid garbage. It didn't even look like him. He got the colours backwards. But they still splashed the image all over the front page. Complete overreaction.
An overreaction?
No. I mean, it was inappropriate to show the public, I mean.
It certainly had a profound effect on the Mr. Bonzo brand.
Bonzo Land halted construction shortly afterwards, and the suits decided it was best to temporarily halt production on SOS.
And how about you personally?
Well, of course, I got death threats. We had nothing to do with it, obviously. But people can be very stupid about this sort of thing. Anyway, that was that. In the minds of the public, Mr. Bonzo had been completely changed. I'm given to understand he's still got some fans in the edgier parts of the internet. There's a meme.
Yes. I was going to ask, Mr. Bonzo merchandise is still on sale via your own website. Do you feel at all uneasy about that?
About what? The fact that a few sales might be from people trying to be edgy? A man's got to make a living, Geraldine, and it's not like I can tell if someone's buying a t-shirt ironically. Besides, people think of Nigel Dickinson and Mr. Bonzo is never far behind. So it's not like it's changing my reputation. In a lot of ways, I'm more his prisoner now than I ever was on my show.
And how do you respond to the more recent rumours?
Excuse me?
The witness statements from three murders over the last 5 years.
I told your producer this wasn't going to be discussed.
The person in the Mr. Bonzo costume is at the scene.
This interview is over.
Do you think there could be a copycat?
Don't contact us again.
Us?
It was a joke, all right? Mr. Bonzo was meant to be funny. Make people laugh. Is that so wrong? Why am I still trapped dealing with all this? Why won't he let me go? Why?
Hello?
Colin?
Sorry, don't let me interrupt.
It's fine, just stuck the kettle on. You want a cup?
No, thanks, I'm cutting back on caffeine.
Celia,
right, sorry.
No problem, I'm still new.
Where is everyone?
Gwen's on assignment, whatever that means, and Alice and Sam are following up something from a case.
Right. Shame. Wanted Alice's thoughts on something. You know anything about computers?
Not really. Weren't you on leave?
For my brain. Yeah. Didn't work. Talked to three therapists. None of them even knew what a logic gate is. What the hell use is that going to be?
I don't...
None.
No?
I was just sat there twiddling my thumbs. Best thing for me is figuring this out.
Right.
So the others are all gone out, right?
Yeah, but...
Great. That'll make things easier. Maybe don't tell them I've been on their terminals. They'll only get the wrong idea.
Sure. Cool. Well, I think that was the kettle, so I'll... probably just leave you to it.
Yeah. Oh, and Celia?
Hmm?
If Lena asks, I wasn't here.
Sure.
She wasn't asking this.
Careful.
Yeah, well, that'd be easier if I wasn't digging through a crumbling, rotten ruin in the rain.
And it'd be even easier if you stopped moaning and got on with actually looking around you.
Touché. Although, I'll point out, I still don't have any idea what we're even looking for. Is it bad vibes? Because I think I found them. Oh, no. False alarm. Just a dead rat. Ugh. Lovely.
I'll know it when I see it.
Will you? Because that sounds very suspiciously like the kind of line someone says when they don't know what they're looking for. I honestly don't know what you expect. It's a ruin. Burned wood, collapsed rooms, rubble. It's not exactly a treasure trove.
If you're that bothered, you can head home. Don't let me keep you.
Sam, there is honestly nowhere I'd rather be than here with you. And to be clear, I mean that in a profoundly depressing way. Like it's Saturday night and I'm choosing to hang out in a hole with you. A wet hole. And not the good kind either.
Well, thanks then, I guess.
Well, you're welcome then, I guess.
Hang on. What was that?
What?
Turn back. Shine your light over. Yes.
Wait, are you serious? We're getting excited over that. It'll be empty. And even if it isn't, it's rusted shut.
Which means I should be able to break the lock.
And find a peer-reviewed paper on all the tetanus you're going to get. You're going to cut yourself up for mulch.
Got it.
So, any life-changing revelations or...
Mulch.
Mulch, that's right.
Damn it!
You all right?
I'm fine. Ow.
Look, Sam, you asked me to come and I came. I'm sorry that this isn't the closure or whatever it was you were searching for, but I think you're wasting your time. We're just lucky this place hasn't already collapsed on us.
I don't feel lucky.
That makes two of us. Look, I get it, okay? It has some weird bits, I'll grant you. That carved floor in the big atrium, I don't know what's going on with that. But whatever ghosts you're hoping to bust, I don't think they're here. Sam.
Fine, it's...
Seriously? I literally just talked you into leaving. Please don't now tell me you've actually found something that... It's a key.
Oh yeah? And you know what that means?
Someone's gym bag is getting really grim trapped in a locker somewhere.
Alice!
Fine. 10 more minutes. And I'm keeping the umbrella.
Nigel Dickerson.
Do you know what time it is?
I'm here on behalf of the Office of Incident Assessment and Response.
Oh?
I have a message for you. I was told to deliver it personally. Here.
I can't.
My instructions were very clear. Go to the home of Nigel Dickerson and hand over this envelope.
It's not for me. Come in and wipe your feet. Oh, I'm sorry about this.
What? Oh, my God!
Try not to stare. He doesn't like it when people stare. Mr. Bonzo, meet. I didn't actually get your name. Probably for the best. Oh, I said don't stare. Looks like they've got another one for you. Give it to me.
Like what?
Name, address. Tell him where to go.
What? I don't... No one told me anything. Who's in there?
What are you talking about? The envelope. Just give him the envelope.
Can he read?
Just do it. Go.
I don't...
Tell the people who sent you, you're welcome. Again.
Okay.
Now, get out of his house.
You literally just saw me try. I believed you couldn't open it. That's not the same thing as being locked.
Here we go again with the ickle baby shrimp Sam routine.
A, I have never called you a baby shrimp, but thanks for the idea. B, shut up and try the key. Well, we tried. Come on.
Hang on. The wood here is pretty rotten. I think...
Suck it. That really hurt, didn't it?
Maybe.
Come here. So much for your key.
We're here, aren't we?
And where is here, exactly?
Someone's office, I guess. Looks like it held up better than the rest.
Who do you reckon Archie was?
Huh?
I found one of those old-timey name block things.
Archipelago?
I'm sorry, what?
What?
You're just going to skip straight to archipelago? Not, I don't know, architect. Archive.
I mean, there are books, I suppose. There were books, anyway.
Nice chair. I could look real ominous swiveling in that thing.
I wouldn't risk it. Not unless you want woodworms up your butt.
Ew. That explains the pattern on the floor.
Oh, yeah. What is that?
Worm tracks. Or, you know, symbols of ancient otherworldly power. One or the other.
Look, you can be creeped out or sarcastic, but not both.
Watch me. Careful.
Oh, thank goodness you said that. Otherwise, I would have jumped up and down on the dangerous... Shit! I dropped the key.
What was that? Because it sounded a lot like, I'm sorry, Alice, you were right. We should head back now before I get myself killed falling into a soggy pit. Gosh, you're sexy. Here's a 20 for your trouble.
We can't. This is the first clue we found.
Clue? What clue? It's a hole, Sam. It's a dark and manky hole in a dark and manky office in a dark and manky building riddled with bugs and God knows what else. I'm sorry, but enough. This isn't some grand clue to your childhood. It's a hole. Time to go, Sam. I am sorry. I know you got your hopes up.
No, you're right. I don't know what I'm looking for. I have memories of weird stuff I saw here. But no context. I want to know what was happening. Why they chose us. Why they didn't choose me. Maybe find the bit where everything started to go wrong. But it's too late. And now, I'm the only one left who cares.
I care. Not a lot, mind. Don't flatter yourself. But the truth is, closure's for movies, mate. All we get is manky holes.
You know there's a cream for that.
There's my baby shrimp.
Come on, let's get out of here before we fall into what I'm starting to think might be a cesspit.
Oh, I thought that was you. I figured you'd messed yourself when you fell.
Charming.
I calls it as I smells it. Now... As fun as it is being moments away from getting our own creepy case, I could really do with a drink. Isn't that probably half the scope?
Thank you.
The Magnus Protocol is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. The series is created by Jonathan Sims and Alexander J. Newell, and directed by Alexander J. Newell. This episode was written by Jonathan Sims and edited with additional materials by Alexander J. Newell, with vocal edits by Lorianne Davis, soundscaping by Tessa Vroom, and mastering by Catherine Rinella, with music by Sam Jones. It featured Billy Hindle as Alice Dyer, Shahan Hamza as Samama Khalid, Anusha Battersby as Gwen Bouchard, Ryan Hopevere Anderson as Colin Becker, Lorianne Davis as Celia Ripley. The Magnus Protocol is produced by April Sumner, with executive producers Alexander J. Newell, Danny McDonough, Lynn C., and Samantha F. G. Hamilton, and associate producers Jordan L. Hawke, Taylor Michaels, Nicole Perlman, Cetius de Raven, and Megan Nice. To subscribe, view associated materials, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at The Rusty Quill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail@rustyquill.com. Thanks for listening.
Hi everyone, it's Kareem, the voice of Simon Fairchild from the Magnus Archives. Today, I'm here to advertise Beck's End, an upcoming new audio drama that will be launching on the RQ Network. Beck's End is a folk horror audio drama about isolation, belief, radicalization, and poses the question if redemption is possible. When floodwaters swallow an idyllic English Lake District village, a stranded journalist finds herself trapped in a rising tide of fear. Cut off from the outside world, she begins to uncover horrors both human and biblical, lurking beneath the surface. If this intrigues you, you can support the creation of Beck's End on Kickstarter until the 17th of July. For more information on the show and to pledge your support, visit becksend.com. That's becksend.com. And you might recognize a voice here or there. Have fun and enjoy the episode.
Hi, Alex here, founder and CEO of Rusty Quill Limited. In case you haven't heard, there is now a Magnus Archives novel. The Library of Jürgen Leitner is set in the world of the Magnus Archives and written by Nebula Award-winning author Premi Mohammed with our very own Jonathan Sims. The story follows Hugh, a university dropout desperate to find somewhere to belong, and his new job at an esoteric library. The books he must investigate for the enigmatic Jürgen Leitner are not normal, because the library is not a vault, sealed and silent, but a hive, alive, buzzing, and ready to sting. The Library of Jürgen Leitner releases October 27th, 2026, but you can pre-order it right now in the US and UK from your local bookshop or by using the link in the episode description. If you live outside of the UK or US, you may be able to make an international order for this first publication, but it depends on individual retailers' shipping policies.